But there was a day that changed all others, the day of his resurrection. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So would you please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you're turning there, I just like to thank the Lord that Ernie's able to be here with us today. Amen. God bless you, Ernie. And for Della for picking you up. First Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin with verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of the resurrection. Lord, today, we believe that there were many infallible proofs proving that you rose from the dead and you are alive today. We thank you for that powerful display of resurrected life. We thank you for that day that has changed all days. And Lord, again, we just want to honor you by our presence and by hearing your word to us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I think back over my life, there were certain days that were turning points. When I was 9 years old, receiving Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior certainly was a turning point. The day I met Debbie and we had our first date was a turning point in my life. The day God called me into the ministry and I accepted that as my life's work was a turning point in my life. And I'm sure that you are here this morning, you've all had days that you could point to and you said, that day has changed my life. That day made a difference. It was a turning point in my life. Well, today we join Christians all over the world as we celebrate the day that turned all days. Turning point day of all turning point days, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, that first Easter Sunday, that resurrection day, has had more impact on humanity than all other days combined. I mean, the day that Jesus came out of that tomb, displayed his power over death, didn't change just one life. It has changed countless millions of lives, and it continues to change lives even to this day. In fact, as I thought about this, preparing the message today, I decided the best way to word this would be to say that Jesus' resurrection has changed all of time, because it has. Any way you look on the time continuum, you see the effects of that day, the day of his resurrection. For example, we can look back and we can see how the resurrection of Christ has impacted the past. You see, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead showed that he was not just another religious mortal leader. not just another religious leader who had some good ideas, who would come and go, cluttering the pages of history, but when they died, their claims were silenced. In spite of the predictions of many, the historical record shows that the movement that Jesus Christ started, His church, continues to thrive and grow all over the world. And this is a positive thing, and the only way that we can explain it is because He's still alive. He still lives. He's still building and growing and operating in His church. Voltaire, the famous French philosopher, once said that the Bible and Christianity would pass within 100 years. Well, Voltaire died nearly 230 years ago. And where is the Church of Jesus Christ? It's still here. It's still here today. In 1882, Friedrich Nietzsche said, "God is dead." He believed that the dawn of silence would doom the Christian faith. He was obviously very wrong. The Communist Dictionary once defined the Bible as a collection of fantastic legends without any scientific support. Where is communism today? Well, the church is still thriving. Max Lucado sums this all up by saying, "Everyone who has tried to bury the Christian faith has discovered the same thing. It won't stay buried any more than its founder." And he's right. The movement that Jesus Christ started, the church, is still here because Jesus is still here. He refused to die. His church will not die either. Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, was indeed who He claimed to be, the Son of God, conqueror of death itself, the Savior of all who would call upon Him. And we can look back on His life and see how He continues to operate in this world. And we discover that He has impacted human history more than anyone else. An anonymous individual once put it this way: "More than 2,000 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He did not travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived, and that was during his exile in childhood. He possessed neither name, wealth, nor influence. His relatives were inconspicuous, uninfluential, and had neither training nor education. In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon billows as if pavements, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the country could not hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students. He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, nor fired a gun, and yet no leader ever had more volunteers, who have, under his orders, made more rebels stack arms and surrender without a shot being fired. The names of the past proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone. The names of the past scientists, philosophers, and theologians have come and gone. But the name of this man abounds more and more. Though time has spread 2,000 years between the people of his generation and the scene of his crucifixion, yet he still lives. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever were built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life." And he's right. And you think that Jesus accomplished all of that in the short life that he lived upon this earth. But thank God he continues to live in the hearts of men and women who have trusted in him as their Savior. Dr. James Kennedy wrote, "Some people have made transformational changes in one department of human learning or in one aspect of human life, and their names are forever enshrined in the annals of human history. But the past shows that Jesus Christ, the greatest man who ever lived, has changed virtually every aspect of human life. Think about that. Some make their mark in this world by doing one great, extraordinary thing, by making a difference in one area. But think of the number of areas that Jesus Christ has impacted and his life has changed. In Revelation 21 and verse 5, he said, "Behold, I make all things new." He has done that. Literally, everything that Jesus touched was transformed, was completely changed and made over. In fact, he touched time itself. And we see that his birthday alters the way that we measure history. Even the atheist Soviet Union was forced to acknowledge Jesus in its constitution. Do you know that? These atheists had to acknowledge Jesus in its constitution when it said, when it came into existence in the year of our Lord, 1917. Jesus has touched everything. He has touched and transformed architecture. To take him out of history would mean you'd have to tear down all the beautiful churches and the cathedrals around the world. He has transformed music and art. There would be no painting of the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. Without Jesus' life to inspire it, the most beautiful music that has ever been put on score, sung by a voice, or played by an instrument would not have been heard. That lovely song that we heard this morning, had it not been, would never have been written if Jesus had not lived. Jesus' life inspired the way humanity responds to the needy. He set the example by helping the poor, caring for the poverty-stricken and downtrodden. And then he bid his followers to go and do likewise. And they did, and they still do. Without his life and example, I don't think there would be help programs like the Red Cross and the Easter Seals and the Salvation Army, World Vision, Samaritan's Purse, Compassion International, the Assemblies of God relief organizations like Convoy of Hope. There would be none of those had it not been for the compassion of Christ and the example he set and left with his followers. In fact, many historians contribute the creation of the hospital itself to Christianity, because many of the hospitals were started in this country by believers. You could go on and on listing the impact that Jesus has had on education and civil rights and science and government and economics and morality. Because as we look back over the pages of history, we see that the life of Jesus has impacted and changed everything. You know what? I would not want to live in a world if there had not been a Resurrection Sunday. I would not want to live in a world where Christ had never lived in. Just think, if he had never been born, if he had not lived his life and transformed his followers into believing and carrying out his message, I can't imagine the ugliness of this world. It's a world that I'm sure that I wouldn't want to be in. I came across a cartoon of two Roman soldiers standing by the empty tomb. The stone was rolled away and one soldier was looking very worried because he knew that they had failed in their responsibility. But the other one just shrugged and said, "Don't worry about it. 100 years from now, nobody will ever remember." Well, he was wrong, wasn't he? And all of mankind remembers this historical fact. The impact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is still being felt. It has changed, transformed the past. But the resurrection of Christ also changes and transforms our present. I mean, Easter, the resurrection validates the faith that you and I live by right now. It proves that we are not wasting our time by worshiping here every week. The resurrection of Jesus Christ shows that it's not pointless for us to try to live according to the teachings of the Bible day in and day out. Vance Havner once said, "If the resurrection of Jesus is a myth, then I am myth-taken, mystified, and mithrable." Now you try saying that three times real fast. But he's right. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the structure of Christianity would just fall apart. And our preaching and our teaching and our faith would become null and void. But you see, Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. And our faith is verified. And the resurrection proves that Jesus is worthy of our faith. It proves that he is indeed the only way, the truth, and the life. He is the only path to eternal life. Dr. David Seaman tells of a Muslim who became a Christian in Africa. Some of his friends asked him, "Why did you become a Christian?" He answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you're going down the road and suddenly the road forks into two directions and you don't know which way to go. And by both of these forks in the road stands a man. One dead, one alive. Which one would you ask directions of?" Christianity is the only religion that has a living founder. Only one who is alive. Only one who has proved his power over death. You know, many of the great shakers and movers in history were considered crazy by their peers until they were able to prove their claims true. It was no different for Jesus. Before his resurrection, people ridiculed him. As he hung up on the cross, they railed at him. They shouted insults at him, saying things like, "If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross and save yourself and save us. You know, prove to us that you are God, and then we will follow you." Even when Jesus was arrested, his own disciples had abandoned him and fled. But when he rose again, he proved once and for all that he was indeed the Christ, God's Messiah. And that resurrection restored the faith of his followers. They believed that he was the resurrection and the life, and that whoever put their trust in him, even though he was dead, yet he would live. The resurrection validated their faith, and as a result, they became bold in their evangelism. And by taking just a handful of disciples, they were able to turn this world upside down. Jesus continued this living presence even after his ascension. And it was his Spirit that motivated and empowered them to share this wonderful, life-changing message with all people. And I don't know if we really understand the great privilege that we have. Because our task is the same as the disciples. Our task is to go and share the life-giving message. Hey, Jesus really is alive. You know, if all these things about him are true, and they are, don't you think that ought to change the way you live? Don't you think you would have put your trust in him? I mean, if all that he predicted came to pass, don't you think that what he has predicted for the future is also going to come true? What a wonderful message that we have to share. Bruce Larson wrote, "The events of Easter cannot be reduced to a creed or a philosophy. We are not asked to believe the doctrine of the resurrection. We are asked to meet this person raised from the dead. In faith, we move from belief in a doctrine to knowledge of a person. Ultimate truth is a person. We met him. He's alive." Now let me ask you, have you met this person? I'm not talking today about this some teaching. I'm not talking about the doctrine of the resurrection. That's important. That's where we start. But we got to move beyond doctrine to experience. This is something that not just happened for the sake of the world. This is something that happened more appropriately for you as an individual. Something that you have to appropriate in your own life. Does he live in your heart? Do you know the risen Jesus? You see, I do. He's my closest companion. He's my rock. He's my anchor. He's my fortress. I couldn't do anything without his power and presence in my life. And the truth is, he's not in a tomb. He's risen. He's risen indeed. And his spirit lives within me. Now, I can't explain all that stuff to you on an intellectual level. But I have experience to be true. Like George, I walk with him. I talk with him. And I know that he is living. How do I know that? Because he's living in my heart. Something happened that changed me, that transformed my life. That's my testimony. And if that's happened to you, that's your testimony as well. You could say, I don't know how I can explain it. Oh, but let me tell you, I know that he lives because he lives within my heart. And this fact that Jesus is risen not only validates our faith, it not only does it say that we're not a bunch of kooks, that we have proof to what we believe, it also empowers our life. You see, the secret of the Christian life is not imitation. It's not just trying to live and act like Christ. That's not it at all. But rather, it's inhabitation. You know the difference? So many people try to live like the person they follow. They try to imitate them. They try to be like them. But with Christianity, it's not like that. It's not imitation. It's inhabitation. It's letting our risen Lord live through us. And Jesus does just that. Even today, this world is being changed by believers inhabited by the risen Christ. To have him as our example is not enough. We need him inside of us as our Savior. That's one reason Jesus came back from the dead. To empower people to live as he lived. You know, the disciples, after Jesus had ascended to heaven, you know, all of a sudden these cowardly bunch of guys who fled from Jesus when he was on the cross, all of a sudden got bold after Pentecost. And they were out there healing people and ministering to people, counting themselves worthy to suffer shame for his sake. But you know what the religious leaders realized? They said, these are uneducated men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Just being with Jesus empowered, transformed, changed their lives. And he'll make a difference in your life as well. He wants to transform you. He wants to change you. He wants to empower you to be able to live as he lived. You know, Jesus didn't die and wasn't raised again from the grave so that we could ooh and ah over him. And I'm afraid that that's what a lot of people do. Oh, look it, he rose from the dead. Ooh, isn't he great? And we sit there and marvel at him for that. No, he died and rose again to offer you his blood and his new life. New life, transforming power to live an abundant, successful, fulfilling life. That's what he wants. He wants you to have the best life that you can have. The abundant life, the fulfilling life. So don't just stand back at a distance and say, oh, the resurrection, that's a great doctrine. That's a great truth. I would just encourage you to bring it home on a more intimate and a more personal level and say, Jesus, would you live your life through me? Would you empower my life? And he'll do that. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. You know what Paul's doing here? Paul is reminding his readers that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead was available to them. We sang about it this morning. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He'll quicken you. He'll make you alive. Now listen, if God is able to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, if He can do that, don't you think He's big enough to handle your problems? Whatever your problem is today, whatever situations you are facing in your life, I want to give you faith. If that power that raised Christ from the dead is available to meet your need and help you with your problem today, don't you think it's enough? What is it that you need resurrection power in your life today? No situation is hopeless. No problem is too big if you can turn it back over to God. And so, the resurrection of Christ has impacted history, the past. It impacts our present. And it'll also see that it will change our future. It'll change our future. We all need our futures changed, because we know that death awaits all of us one day. One of my favorite stories on this subject is, I might have shared it here before, about a guy who went jogging one night. He went down a road in the dark and decided to take a shortcut through the cemetery. He was jogging through the gravestones, trying not to look down. Well, he didn't know, but there was a freshly cut grave there. Getting ready for a body the next day, and in the dark, this jogger didn't see it, and he fell into the hole. It was so deep that he couldn't climb out. He tried jumping out, tried climbing out, called for help. Nobody could hear him. Finally, he decided to spend the night there till someone came along in the morning. And so he crawled up in the corner and tried to doze off. A little bit later, another jogger came through the cemetery, fell in the same hole. This guy started jumping, tried climbing, trying to get out. All of a sudden, the second jogger felt a hand on his shoulder. He froze in his tracks, terrified. And then he heard a voice say, "You can't get out of here." But he did. Easter is a day for celebrating, because on this day, we rejoice over the fact that Jesus has defeated death that will come for all of us. But He takes away the sting, the pain of death. He changed the meaning of death. Death is not that which destroys what we call life. We rejoice at Easter over the fact that we who have put our faith in our risen Lord promises us that if we believe in Him, we will experience our own resurrected life. And because He lives, we know that death is not the end, but rather the beginning. And that's why we grieve at funerals, because we will miss our loved ones. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We have a hope, sure and steadfast. We know that we will see our loved ones again. Words like these from the Scriptures comfort and encourage us, because they tell us that death is not the end. It's our entry into a place where we will be together again. You know, a place so great that God has spent over 2,000 years preparing it. I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like if He could create this world in 6 days. What has He created in 2,000 years? Bob Buford is he's written some sports books. I've never read any of his book, but I did read his testimony about his son, Ross, who was tragically killed in a drowning accident in the Rio Grande River. Buford told how he grieved over losing his 21-year-old son. And he said, one day in prayer, he felt like God told him, "Bob, draw a horizontal line on a piece of paper." Buford said he took a pencil and drew a line. Then God said, now write a number, the largest number you can think of below that line. And he did. He wrote a one with all kinds of zeros across the width of the page. Next, God said, on top of that line, write 21. Now look at that. You have only spent 21 one-trillionths of the time you're going to spend together with your son, Ross. You know, that's what it means to have a living hope. Because of what happened on that resurrection day, we have the hope of living together in the future. That's going to be great. All of us who have received Christ will be able to live together in His presence for all eternity. And not just us, but our loved ones who have gone on before us. Our future looks bright. Our future in heaven will be wonderful. The best truly is yet to come. As Christians, our future is to live for all eternity in a place where all of our inner longings will be taken care of. Just think of it. No more physical pain. No more mental pain. No heartaches. God will wipe away every tear from your eye. No more parting. No more sorrow. No more pain of any kind. Do you see how the resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed our future? That day is a day unlike any other day. It has changed our past. It changes our present. And probably, best of all, it changes our future. If you have not yet surrendered your life to the risen life of Christ and exchanged His life for yours, I would certainly beg you to do that today. You can continue to live the old life of death, or you can be empowered with the new life of Christ. The new life is yours simply for the asking. It's free. Jesus already paid the price. Not a thing you could do to add to that. It was costly, yes, but it was costly to God. It was costly to His Son. But for you, He offers the gift, the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, God's Son. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? See, God is a gentleman. And He won't make the trade with you unless you want to make the trade. He'll just not come and take your old life. In Adam all die. In Christ all shall be made alive. He won't take the life of Adam out of you and give His life to you unless you ask Him to do that. Well, why don't you do that today? If you have not done that, why don't you just ask Him today? Lord, would You come, transform my life, forgive me of my sins, give me new life in You. And Christ can be resurrected in your heart this morning. I wonder if there's anybody here by a raised hand, you'd say, Pastor, I'm doing that today. I'm asking Christ to exchange my dead life for His new living life. Can I see your hand so I can pray for you? Is there anybody here today? You're doing this for the first time. How many of you are here today? You've got a problem. You've got a situation. It's big. Too big for you. But it's not too big for the resurrection power of God. And you're asking Him to help you with that problem and to give you that same power that raised Christ from the dead. You're asking for that power in your situation. Could God see your hand? Just up and down. Amen. 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 Lord, we want to recognize your presence here today. And Father, we just ask that that same Spirit and that same power and that same life would work in these situations today that worked in raising Christ from the dead. Lord, that you would show yourself strong. You would show yourself once again omnipotent, all-powerful over every situation and over every problem. Lord, we apply that power to these situations today. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. As Lord, we believe that you will transform these situations and these problems just like you transform everything else that you touch. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.